It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
That we're officially into autumn, things are cooling off a little bit, right?
A little bit,
and football is heating up. We know that, obviously, for a fact. So when you come off a win, as the Texas Longhorns have, it makes autumn all the more nicer and yet more challenging as they navigate and move through their Big 12 conference schedule. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Light the Tower. Here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We are live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Glad to have you with us this morning. We're on campus, as we are on Mondays, on the UT campus, because coming up at 11 o'clock this morning will be Head Coach Steve Sarkisian's weekly news conference, which will bring you live here on the Horn at straight up 11 o'clock. Coach Sark will be looking back at the win over the Texas Tech Red Raiders and previewing the matchup with the TC Horned Frogs this Saturday morning in Fort Worth. By the way, we should also expect to hear, one would imagine that we'll hear the official kickoff time for the OU game. I'm sure we'll hear it. I feel pretty confident, unfortunately, in saying that it'll be 11 a.m. as well. So just be prepared for that. Just want you to know that. Joined, as always, by my co-host, the pride of Northwest Williamson County and a proud graduate of Florence High School. And he was known as Highway 79 when he was the honorable mention All-District offensive lineman for the Florence Buffaloes. That would be Jeff Howe. How are you doing this morning?
You know, the Comrex headsets take some adjusting to get to.
Yeah,
you got to put the mic in the right spot, because if like I did this and put it up to my nose,
it's going to go up your nostril.
All anybody would hear is just me breathing first hour, and nobody wants that. So, you know, I understand why fans don't like 11 o'clock kicks, Craig.
You understand why broadcasters don't like 11 o'clock kicks?
I understand why you don't like it. Well, but, you know, hey, given what you're going to go through most likely the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good deal because you're in the Metroplex already.
Yeah, it's easier. I will admit to that. It's easier than what this past weekend was. But you know what? That's what I signed up for. I know that going in. I know there's going to be 11 o'clock kicks. I know that it's going to be a deal either when I get off the set for doing the high school show on Friday night up in Dallas, I either drive straight back, which I've done before, get home about 4:15 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, and then you get a few hours to get up. Or, and this is what I did last weekend, go ahead and go back to the hotel and try to get, it's not a quote-unquote good night sleep. You get a few hours, and then you get up, and then you drive down, and you go straight to the stadium. Now, I would have gone straight to the stadium, Jeff Howe, except in the wee hours of Saturday morning as I'm driving back, I wanted to give myself a little Whataburger, right? So I pull off in Hillsboro.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, except the problem was I'm on a little bit of a time schedule. As Whataburger sometimes has happened with them, because they're so good and they're so popular, they have the line wrapped around the building at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's where you do the pickup.
Not at that hour.
Oh. So,
and not in Hillsboro. So,
okay.
So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go over to the truck stop, grab a cup of coffee. I'm just going to do that, get back on the road. So I go in to the Love's truck stop. I walk in there, get the cup of coffee. And then is the sign right by the cream and sugar. Sorry, no lids. I was like, what do you mean no lids? And I thought, must be one of those supply chain deals. Yeah, yeah, that's become our operative thing, is supply chain, those two words. So I'm fully aware of this. I get into the truck, and I'm getting ready to head on back, and I'm going pulling out of there, and I say to myself, do not drink the coffee till you get back on the highway. Don't do it. Because you'll spill it because there's no lid.
Right.
So I pull out of the pull out of the parking lot, which has some potholes, boom, 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 you know, left it there. Okay, fine. I get over the bridge to turn left to get back on 35 South. And when I do, I take the cup of coffee out. I wasn't on the highway yet. I should have waited. I didn't. I start drinking. Boom, hit a pothole, coffee all over my dress shirt. So now I know I got to go home.
Lovely.
Now I got to go to Cedar Park. So I did and done that. But anyway, it's what I signed up for. I know that. So if I had my druthers, would I rather not have 11? Sure, 2:30 would be fine. I like 2:30 kicks, but that isn't always the case. And it's going to be 11 a.m. this week, and I'll bet you a dollar to a donut it's going to be 11 a.m. for Texas OU. But like you said, I'll be in the Metroplex the next two weeks anyway, so it's not that big
of a deal. I like it just because
you get your work done.
You get work done. My body clock, since, you know, when you have a toddler running around, your body clock works earlier in the morning anyway. And I think for Steve Sarkisian and this Texas team, most importantly, Craig, they're on the practice field right now.
Mm-hmm.
Their body clocks are used to being active early in the morning and having early morning meetings. There was no adjustment needed on Saturday.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great point because I've heard so many people, it was television and some radio and newspapers, say, boy, I hope they can get going at 11 a.m. These guys are up and at it in the morning. It's not. It's 11 a.m. is not foreign to them. Getting their juices going is not foreign to them at this hour of the morning. They're up and they're blowing and going. It's not that. You hope the crowd can be into it, and they got into it relatively quickly with the way the Longhorns went after Texas Tech on Saturday. So it's not an issue of whether the team is ready to go at 11 a.m. The way this group operates is different than in the past in so many ways. And this is one of them with those morning practices.
And it did not slow them down at all on Saturday. They came out of the gate swinging and never let up. And I'll be honest, Craig, I thought that game Saturday was going to be close. I did not expect a 70 burger in that game. But I think more than that, everything that we talked about after the Arkansas game in respect to what Arkansas did to Texas – applied to this game in terms of what Texas did to Texas Tech. Like, I started looking at – I went back and watched the game yesterday, did my rewatch, made my notes so I could do my content today at Horns 24/7. That's another thing I like about the 11 o'clock kickoff is I can be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed doing my Sunday rewatch. Craig, rewatching it felt worse than when I watched it sitting in my seat in the press box a few feet over to my left. Like, it – you know,
it was uglier?
I've been calling for a diverse run game because, you know, hey – this team against Rice and even at points against Arkansas, they look competent running that stretch play, that wide zone, that outside zone, especially to the right side of the line. So I said, you know, but they're going to need something off of that. Craig, they didn't need any counters on Saturday. They ran stretch right, stretch left. It didn't matter if it was Bijan Robinson, Roshan Johnson, Jonathan Brooks, the couple of times, the one design run for Casey Thompson, the couple of scrambles he had. When you do the damage on the ground that Texas did, and you look at the totality of it, over 300 yards on the ground, it does it 336 to be exact, 6.5 per carry as a team. It doesn't even begin to do justice to just the, quite frankly, just how Texas punked Texas Tech in the trenches on both sides. Just like we talked about in the Arkansas game, Texas lost the line of scrimmage battle in a landslide. They won it in a landslide on Saturday, both sides of the line of scrimmage. As dominant as I've seen Craig Texas look on the lines of scrimmage in a line of scrimmage battle in a really long time.
That's true. It was a big part. And I understand, and it's completely understandable. Folks would say, okay, how much are they incrementally, logistically, strategically, to the naked eye, quote unquote, improved from Arkansas because of the caliber of opposition? Rice, Texas Tech, that's a sliding scale. You're always weighing all of that sort of stuff. But if you talk, not only we talked to Derek Kerstetter after the game, I know you got a chance to visit with offensive linemen after the game, and you talked to Sark after the game, and we'll hear him coming up at the top of the hour at the news conference. Do they understand about where, whatever, caliber of opposition? Sure. But you're looking for different things than might be visible to the naked eye of the casual rank-and-file fan on technique. Now, you who play the position, you who have watched football a long, long time and understand it, you can judge it as well to see where the steps have been taken forward in that. And I know you feel that they have taken steps forward in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Opponent notwithstanding.
Yeah, from an offensive line standpoint, it's things like staying on your blocks, creating them. If you want to be a good zone running team, in the case of wearing your home jerseys, you just kind of got to see that wall of burnt orange just slowly drift into the second level. And you saw guys – there was a whole Denzel Okafor got called for early in the game.
Yeah.
That I didn't see it on first glance, but looking at it, going back and watching the TV copy yesterday, it wasn't a hold. He just buried his guy.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought it was a little odd that now, got called. But,
now, the Christian Jones hold later in the game,
that
was a hold.
Yep.
And I think there was one point in time, I think Cade Brewer on the Roschon Johnson touchdown run, Cade probably got away with one. But, again, you can call holding on every play. It's just one of those deals. But it seems like watching them get to the second, staying on your blocks, passing guys off, getting to the second level, not wandering around the field like I did in my high school days, wandering around the field aimlessly looking for an off-colored hat to get on, that type of stuff. But I think what as excited as I was about the offensive line, Craig, and by far the best game they played all year, I was probably more excited about the defensive line because going into this game, we talked about it.
Mark the tape on this, Snoop, by the way, the fact that he's more excited about defensive line play than offensive line play. It's rare that you hear it.
It is. But we talked about it going into the game that if you blitz Tyler Shuck or whether you didn't blitz, it was really irrelevant. To get to him and pressure him, you needed to have organic pressure. Guys had to win one-on-ones at the point of attack. And – Jacoby Jones, Moro Ojemo, Alfred Collins, Baron Sorrell. There was a number of guys that just straight up won one-on-one battles. I know, and we'll talk about it, everybody's excited about kind of that ghost front, that radar look with three guys stacked over the ball that PK debuted in this game. And it was – I love that. It was brilliant. But more than that, don't lose sight of the fact that, man, you just had a lot of guys on that Texas defensive line straight up just – whip guys at the point of attack and get into the backfield and make really big plays in high leverage situations. Like I'll give you I'll save it for in the notebook when we talk about five plays that made a difference in the game. But the line of scrimmage, if you're a Texas fan, that's what you take solace in. Don't you can look at the score, you can look at the total yards, all the production, the fact that Texas unequivocally dominated this game along both lines of scrimmage. That's the kind of stuff that can carry you forward and allow you maybe to build something. Oh, and by the way, Craig, we keep referencing the Arkansas game. Mm-hmm. I think we figured out now Arkansas is pretty good.
Yeah, they're better than folks are right now. We'll learn more about them this week when they go to Athens.
Oh yeah.
but they are significantly improved over last year, which was significantly improved over the year before. Sam Pittman's making strides with that.
You know what? I don't even – and not to make light of what's left on their schedule because, like you said, they've got Georgia this week. And, you know, in that SEC West, Ole Miss, Auburn's a couple of ranked opponents.
Yeah.
There's that Crimson Tide Goliath you've got to face at some point. But if this team is a bowl team against this schedule this year, Sam Pittman's your national coach of the year. What else happens. Mm-hmm. If Arkansas is a bowl team against this schedule and with already a win over Texas A&M and what – is very close to being a ranked Texas team again.
Mm-hmm.
The context being as bad as they were the 2 years before he took that job, I would make Sam Pittman National Coach of the Year. It's a phenomenal job he's done getting that thing turned around.
Our producer, our man behind the glass, is Jonathan John Donaldson, J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel, who joins us from the home base. You had yourself a good weekend, Snooper?
It was good. I'm just waiting for this weekend, ACL Fest weekend. My favorite weekend of the year.
Is it really?
It might as well be Christmas. Yes.
Well, there's two things to consider. One, Snoop and I had a really, really bad week in the Supreme League Pick'em contest with Chris.
How bad was it?
Realty.
Did you even scratch?
We picked five games.
Oh, don't tell me you went over.
We had all five wrong.
You donutted.
Oh, Wisconsin! Wow. Wisconsin has officially joined Auburn in the group of college football teams. I will not pick you. You burned me too many times. Stay over there. I will pick against you every time.
Is this like the deal where Greg Tepper from Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine? We're on the set on Friday night, and there's teams, and I'm not going to name them. I'm not going to embarrass any programs or anything like that, but. Tep gets pretty worked up about some of these. He'll look at another team that lost another game of show, and he goes, fraud, points to him. Then he'll point to another one, fraud. He did it like three or four times. I'm like, hey, Ease back there, Skeezix. We're talking about high school kids, all right? Fraud.
for Wisconsin to get that game, it was a tie game going into the fourth quarter, field goal game going into the fourth quarter, and you just get boat raced by the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with Paul Chryst, good dude. I'm not picking your team the rest of the way or maybe ever again. This popped up on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Craig, you're a Hall of Famer, as experienced as you are, how did you pull such an amateur move of wearing the dress shirt? Even I know you leave the dress shirt on a hanger and put it in the back and keep it free from harm.
You know what? It's a great point, and normally I do it. For whatever reason, in my mind, I'm going straight to the stadium. I might as well go ahead and dress. I had not put on the tie. I was going to put on the tie when I get there. So why? It's a great point, Texter. That's a fail on my part. And it's one of my favorite dress shirts, too. So now it's got coffee stains. I'm going to send it to the cleaners. So you're right. It's a great point. And I don't know. Getting up when I did at 4:45 a.m. after getting to bed about 1:45, and
popping
back, I'm just like, okay, boom, get going, boom, get through downtown Dallas, boom, get on down there. Okay, need a cup of coffee now. About an hour into it, I'm going to need a cup of coffee. All right, Whataburger. Maybe. Oh, line's too long. Okay, let me just go over here and get a cup of coffee. What? No lids? Okay, be careful. Boom, and I'm like, I'm not believing this. I'm not believing this.
One of those days.
So it was, and I thought, I hope this Saturday didn't turn it. Fortunately, it did not. Things went pretty well after that. But it's a great point. It's well worth made. Speaking of Whataburger, it is time for our Whataburger Top 5.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 performances of the weekend.
Okay, these are the top 5 high school football performances of the weekend before we jump back into Texas here in a moment. And before we get into this, yes, I freely admit that was an epic fail on my part, wearing the dress shirt. Speaking of epic fails, Snoop Daniel.
Oh.
Did I actually hear you on the air say, when I was up in the Metroplex.
Oh, no. Scared. What are you?
On Friday, that you picked Austin High to beat Bowie.
Yeah. Well, I also hedged my bet at the end of that, because in my article I did pick Austin High, but I said I could also see the Bulldogs winning by a landslide.
I'm glad that's where you went with that, because I thought he was going to say, you know, low score first, high score
second. No, heck no, that's not me. And, okay, I'll explain that to y'all behind of the curtain later.
The loft line.
Yes.
Yeah, but no, I heard you when I was listening to the postgame, which you did an excellent job of. Man, that JIP there on the end of Cedar Park, Georgetown was stroke of genius, my friend. Well done.
Thank you.
But he said, yeah. It, somebody was it a mom who was giving you grief on the
Yes, Elena Foridori.
Was giving you grief for having picked Austin High to win the game.
Yes.
Final score, Bowie 59, Austin High nothing. Yes. At house. All right. All that said, and kudos to Jeff Abels and the Bulldogs, because they're rolling and they're playing really well. It's not part of the top five. Top five begins with a tie at number 5. Snoop, how about Anderson Pflugerville?
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And how about, did you hear how Maynor Leander wound up?
Yes, I did. It was somebody jumped off sides. Apparently, Craig, they flooded Flex in the inbox with the replay of the offsides call, and I didn't with my eye see an offsides jump. But
okay, so it was Maynor missed what would have been a game-ending field
correct.
Goal. Leander's called for offsides. Maynor gets the second shot. They punch it through. Mustangs win 31-29. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's your tie, number 5. Number 4, I'm going to tip of the hat, salute Jamal Fenner and having his Jags ready to go. They beat Cornerstone Christian 41-26. You said, what's the big deal about that? If you haven't seen that private program down in San Antonio and their facilities and their program, you need to take a look. That's handling your business on the road. And what was it? Matt Stepp from Texas Football Magazine said that he had a coach tell him, best team they've seen so far in the state in 4A has been LBJ.
And I also saw, I think, somebody on the La Vega staff or La Vega fan, La Vega administrator so that, followed
who had
that
played
up.
Argyle and
said
so
they've
LBJ.
Seen Argyle and LBJ and would agree that LBJ is the best 4A Division I team in Texas.
Now, there's a ways to go, obviously, and we were talking about this on the television show the other night. Cal Allen's in their group. Oh, by the way, El Campo. So, I mean, there's teams to watch, but LBJ looks good. Number three, when we mentioned Snoop had folks updated on what was going on there, thanks to our good friends at SHN Sports with that, the end of the Cedar Park Georgetown game. What a crazy, crazy game that was. What, Georgetown's up 28-7, right?
Correct.
Second quarter. Timberwolves come back and get a touchdown, two-pointer before the half, 28-15, fight all the way back. They go up 42-37 in the fourth at 42-37. Georgetown fights back, scores with 44 seconds to go, attacks on the two-point conversion. They're up 45-42. 54-yard touchdown pass, right?
Yes.
14 seconds left.
To Cody Marshall.
To Cody Marshall from Josh Powell's, and Cedar Park wins it 49-45. Number two, we were talking about it on Friday morning with good reason. Somebody break up the Aikens Eagles. Beat Hayes 43-27. You have to, because of two reasons, you have to consider Aikens a bona fide contender for the fourth playoff spot now in 26-6A. I mean, we know what Westlake is. We know what Lake Travis is. And I dare say we know what Bowie is.
Yes.
So point, yeah. Toward that end, that means for sure you're going to see Westlake in Division II. And you're going to see, you know, obviously Lake Travis would be in D1 and Bowie would be in it. And yeah, there's some chickens being counted here. I will admit to that. But I think the battle right now, anyway, is for the fourth spot, whether it's Del Valle or Austin High, San Marcos or Aikens, whoever it's going to be, that fourth and Hayes. But Aikens handled their business against Hayes.
Yeah,
so,
and Craig, what's crazy is Aikens plays they play Austin High next and Del Valle the week after.
So we'll know.
Yes.
We'll know. If they win both of those games, they're going to get in. If they split, they've got a real good shot. So we'll see. And the number one performance, the top five performance of the weekend. Do you know where I'm going with this, Snoop? They beat a state-ranked team. You don't know where I'm going with this. Hey, salute to, hats off to, the Smithville Tigers. Smithville beat ninth-ranked Columbus on Friday night, 42-40. Coach Atkins has that ball club playing well. I noticed in the computer rankings this morning, they're up to like number 23 in the state.
Nobody picked Smithville out of all the critics across the city.
Nobody. And it's understandable. Columbus, good ball club. Number 9 in the state, as I mentioned, going in. But Tigers did it. And congratulations to Smithville. There it is. Number 1 performance, our Whataburger. Top 5 performances of the weekend. All right, coming up, we do have the notebook with Jeff, and of course, we'll have Inconceivable, and we'll get you ready for Coach Sark's news conference. That's coming up around the top of the hour, so stay tuned for all that as we continue with Light the Tower. We're on campus today and getting you ready for that news conference. Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn.
Well, I don't sleep like you.
Yeah.
You enjoy sleep.
I love sleep.
Sleep is overrated to me.
Oh, it's so great.
You got plenty of time for that, man.
Extend the legs.
Plenty of time for that when you're old and you're dead. You did it a lot when you
are old,
you
Rod.
Did it a lot
we're
when
almost
you
dead.
You did it a lot when you were a baby and you did it in school with nap time. When you're prime, it's overrated. When you're old, it's not. And when you're young, it's not. Now, it's overrated.
Here's the thing, though.
You got better things to do, and you know it.
Weekdays 3-7 on the Horn.
Well, with the weather starting to cool off a little bit, we're reminded that we really had kind of a milder summer than we normally have had. That was on the heels of one of the worst winter and springs we had. Of course, we had the winter storm, the major winter storm back in February. Then you had a lot of spring storms and damages. And, you know, my friend John Hardy and the great people at Divided Sky Roofing Exteriors all are well aware of what storms can do to your roof and, for that matter, to your home. And they can help fix that problem. Why not let them come out for a free inspection? There's no obligation of any kind, and they'll be upfront with you about what kind of damage you have, if you can file a claim. Remember, if you think you might have had damage from the spring storms, You have up to a full year to file your claim. You'll never pay more than your deductible. There's no upfront money required. There's easy financing available. There's no payment due until the day they start your job. Divided Sky Roofing and Exteriors is GAF certified, and they can also help lower your power bill and prolong the life of your roof if you call and ask them about the Attic Breeze solar-powered fans. They'll lower your attic temperature, which helps keep your entire house cooler, and it'll save you money on your electric bill. It comes with a lifetime warranty on the motor, and a 26% federal rebate is offered when you get an Attic Breeze solar-powered fan installed. Call my friends, John Hardy, and the group at Divided Sky at 512-995-ROOF. That's 512-995-ROOF, or check them out online at DividedSkyAustin.com. When the wind blows high, and we know it will, call our friends at Divided Sky.
It's our $5 flag.
Yeah, this was a big hit for the one and only Boz Skaggs when I was in high school. Shows you how old I am. So you get here to the chorus right here for Lido Shuffle right here. Boz Skaggs in concert tonight at the Paramount. Yes, I will be there. Throwback to my youthful misspent days, but Linda and I are going to go catch Boz Skaggs at the Paramount tonight. He of many hits there of the late 70s to early 80s. We have coming up here in just a few moments, Inconceivable Sark news conference at the top of the hour. But right now, it is time for the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
Thompson from the shotgun, the snap, back to throw. Swings that wide open, Robinson, the catch. Inside the 30, shakes a tackle. Say goodnight to this one. Bijan Robinson takes it 39 yards on fourth down. The catch and run to the end zone for a Texas touchdown. Now, Jeff Howe asked for that highlight specifically to be played.
Yep.
And the reason...
because that, Craig, is number one on our list of five plays that made a difference in the game. Now, you're saying, okay, it's obvious, right? A touchdown is going to make a difference in the game. But go back and watch the nuance of that play and think about something we talked about last week going into the Rice game. Steve Sarkisian, as much as he loves pre-snap movement, all the motions, all the shifts, you got to make them matter. And if you make them matter, you can force a defense to show their hand. You can dictate coverage. They can have to shift the front. If they want to be in a certain shell and shift it at the snap, maybe they've got to show that early, and it can help your quarterback. In this case, that's exactly what happened. If you look at this play, it is almost the exact same play that Bijan scored on in the Louisiana game with that pass from Hudson Card, where you've got action flowing away from the play. You swing it out to him in open grass and let him run. Here's the difference, though, and here's the nuance. Jordan Whittington is lined up into the boundary on that play. And right before the snap, he shifts and runs an orbit motion to the wide side of the field. That creates a situation where Texas Tech, the defender responsible for Whittington, follows him. So right then, that tells Casey Thompson, they're in man coverage. Running back is going to be wide open on this. Gets it to Bijan, he makes a guy miss, scores a touchdown. That, Craig, is why making your motions and shifts matter. When we say that, that's why that is so important, because you can force the defense to show their hand, and boom, you get a 39 touchdown right off the bat. That is play number one. Play number two came on the end of Texas Tech's first possession. It's third and nine. Texas Tech's got the ball at their own 45. They set up a screen pass, and if you look at that screen pass, it actually was a really good call by Sonny Cumbie, and they had something there. The problem was Moro Ojomo blew up the play and never gave it a chance. And typically what defensive linemen are taught to do, if you see a screen, in other words, if you're making a beeline to the quarterback and you just see he's dropping back forever and ever and he keeps dropping and dropping, you're naturally taught it's a screen pass, I got to plant my cleats and get back the other way. Ojomo got there so fast that there was no need to plant his cleats and turn the other way. He was right on top of Tyler Shuck, forced a bad throw. You force a punt, and Texas at that point, it's about to be 14-0. Play number three, it's pretty self-explanatory. The Josh Thompson pick six. Now, the Tyler Shuck injury, I wasn't aware until after the game when it happened. But if you look at the touchdown run he had to cut it to 14-7, when he dove, he dives in the end zone.
And that's when he got the
and
shoulder.
And lands on his left shoulder. It was a left shoulder collarbone deal. I haven't heard an update on him. I know Matt Wells said they were going to check him out when they got back to Lubbock.
But well,
they
said multiple weeks, I think.
He said after the game it was looking like he's going to be out for a few weeks. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Henry Columbia didn't play all that bad. But credit Josh Thompson. They started the game playing off coverage. They were keeping things in front of him. If you look at that initial play, Josh Thompson bails right before the snap. So Tyler Shuck is thinking, okay, this is an easy throw. Even though it's a long throw from the opposite hash to the wide side of the field outside the numbers, it's just a hitch. You're getting it as a common where he can do something out of it. Shuck didn't put enough mustard on it, and if you have enough air under the ball on that kind of throw, if the corner's playing off, he's flat foot reading everything, that's an easy read for him. Josh Thompson steps in front of it. I suffice to say, Craig, Josh Thompson will not have an easier pick six maybe the rest of his career than what he got right there. Heck of a play by him, but all those factors came together that allowed him to be in a position to make that play. He makes it, and at that point, it's 28-7, and for all intents and purposes, the game felt like it was over at that point.
You know Carlos Silva out in Lubbock, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who'd reported he's out at least 6 weeks with a broken collarbone.
Oh, jeez. It is a collarbone.
Yep, okay. Broken collarbone at least 6 weeks.
Well, that's what I was talking to one of Carlos's colleagues, the great Don Williams.
The great Don Williams, who retweeted that, by the way.
Yeah, Don's covered Texas Tech for a long time. Don was saying after the game, you know, basically the same things that Wells was saying after the game about Tyler Shuck's injury, pretty much his same tone, tenor, and delivery when Alan Bowman broke his collarbone last year. So they figured, okay, if he's already saying just on initial diagnosis it's a couple weeks, so Henry, if Texas Tech's going to pull the nose up, it's going to be Henry Columbia, not Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, Don, by the way, and I've known Don a long time. We're friends. And both of us serve on the nominating committee for Texas Sports Hall of Fame. He had tweeted on Saturday.
I saw that.
That obviously Taj Brooks from Maynard was not going to play. And he said, hearing that it was first reported by at Craigway One by me, and I was like, no, not me.
We probably because we had talked about it on the show on Friday.
Yeah.
Because we had just reported it on the site.
But all we had said was that there was, we were hearing rumbles and rumors
that it was going to be a game time decision.
Yeah, and that he wasn't well and hadn't practiced much. But that was about it. So I was like, no, not me. But it turned out to be the case.
Right. Craig, if the game was not over on the Josh Thompson pick six, then it was over one Texas Tech possession later. Henry Columbia comes into the game, and it's fourth and six from the Texas Tech 40. And I know Matt Wells got a lot of grief for, why do you go for it on fourth down there? Why do you go for it? And I agree. It's 28-7. Theoretically, you're still in the game. But that was a head coach who knew whether we give it to them on the 40 or they get it on the minus 20, we're not stopping this offense. So your only hope is to try to convert and extend the possession.
Yep.
And basically you're hoping just to bleed clock to give yourself a chance to try to at least match scores at that point, and then you're hoping to get a turnover, whatever. You're basically up the creek without a paddle at that point if you're Matt Wells.
And the whole of the game reflected that ultimately. When folks saw what Texas was doing offensively, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah. So the play is fourth and six from the minus 40. Henry Columbia drops back. Really good pressure. Again, Texas just rushed, I believe, three on that play. Mm-hmm. Vernon Broughton caves in the right side of the Texas Tech offensive line. Jacoby Jones coming from Henry Columbia's blind side. Gets to the pressure late, but by the time Jones gets there, Columbia's already falling down. It's an easy pressure for Jacoby Jones. It's an incomplete pass, and then a few plays later, you get the 23-yard touchdown pass from Casey Thompson to Xavier Worthy, and it's 35-7, and at that point, the game is over. But, Craig, got one more play that made a difference in the game. If you look at the final Texas drive of the first half, now we mentioned the holding penalty situation. Mm-hmm. Was this the drive that they had? This was not the drive where they had the holding penalty. This was the drive where we talk about the deep shots that the offense hit or failed to hit.
Right.
The one where Joshua Moore got the Tech defender waistlocked him.
Right.
Had the waistlock not happened, that would have been six.
Yeah.
Or if Xavier Worthy doesn't get tackled on the other side of the field on a double move, basically Casey Thompson had two shots to get a shot play that everybody wanted to see down the field. But I digress. You end up with a situation where, and I know Steve Sarkisian kind of took some heat for his clock management. There was some discussion about that. I know we got it on the flagship message board at Horns 24/7. And in hindsight, probably after, so they got a fresh set of downs, and then Roschon Johnson has a one-yard run. Probably at that point, you think, okay, do you bang a timeout right there because the clock is running? But it actually ended up working out
perfectly
to Texas' benefit. And it was 3rd and 6 at the Texas Tech 35. You've got Joshua Moore and Jordan Whittington kind of both running drag routes. They're leveled out. Whittington's about 8 to 10 yards behind Moore. And if Casey Thompson's available today, I'm interested to hear from him. I don't know if you guys got it from him on the post game, but it looks like he's throwing that ball to Joshua Moore.
Right.
And this just shows it's just one of your days when stuff like this happens. It's overthrown for Moore, but the ball gets fitted right into a window where only Jordan Whittington can make the catch.
Yeah.
He makes the sliding catch down at the 10-yard line. Roschon Johnson's in the end zone 2 plays later with 9 seconds on the clock, and it's 42-14. And if you haven't realized it by that point, yes, the game is over with a 42-14 lead at halftime.
I'm never amazed at the hubris of fans on message boards to question coaching decisions. I get that. I understand that. But would you really question that decision after it worked to perfection and they left him no time left?
Yeah, like I said,
would you really – if it didn't work, I get it. We live in a second-guessing world. Hindsight is 20/20, and you're certainly within your rights as a fan to do whatever, you know, with regard to that. But would you really do it after it worked perfectly?
In the moment, that was my initial thought. Like, oh, wow, that couldn't have worked out better. You score, you go down score, and there's
leave
9 seconds
left
on the clock. But watching the TV copy, I tried to look at it through a critical lens, okay, because I heard it on the postgame show
right.
with Kevin and Trey,
right.
people calling in that, in addition to the deep passing yardage
right.
that the secondary gave
sure.
up. And we'll get into that after Sark's press conference today when we do some cleanup from the game. But other than that, the clock management at the end of the first half seemed to be a hot topic. So I tried, when I did the rewatch yesterday, I tried to go back and at least look through it,
mm-hmm.
look at it through a critical eye, Craig. And like I said, that's probably the one thing that in that sequence, if I was to criticize Sark for anything, it was after you got a fresh set of downs and after the Roschon Johnson short run up the
mm-hmm.
middle, when then the clock is ticking, at that point, since you had all your timeouts, you probably would have burned one right there to save some time. But again, that's
where one of those deals where I'd say in the rhythm of the moment, those guys know what they're doing. They're going to go ahead and execute. Now, all of us looking at it from afar are going to go, tick, 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 tick. You know, time. But, you know, the communication is a big factor. And I understand that too, fans, because they've seen it get burned by that so often in the past. So I understand that. By the way, and I just tweeted this just a few moments ago. It is official. Texas OU will be 11 a.m.
Figured.
Yeah, like I said, no shock here is what I tweeted. No, nobody has to be stunned or surprised by that at all.
Now, one more play, Craig, to mention that
yes.
it goes in the honorable mention because it did impact the game, but I just thought those 5 plays really tell the story of how Texas got the big lead and end up putting a 70-burger on Texas Tech. But that exotic look, and there's a look, you know, ghost fronts or radar fronts, whatever you want to call them, they're not new. We've seen Texas defensive coordinators do that through the
mm-hmm.
years. Craig, Manny Diaz like ghost fronts. Todd Orlando like that ghost front, that radar look. This is just Pete Kwiatkowski starting to dip into that bag of, okay, how creative can you get? And that's something you don't need to dial up really in a long yardage situation where, hey, even if they run the ball, you've got 8 guys drop back. If it's 3rd and 20 and they get a 10-yard gain, so what at that point? So I like it. I like the creativity. But knowing Pete Kwiatkowski, I think there's going to be a lot more of that in store, especially if Alfred Collins continues to flash the way that he flashed. And I'm sure Craig Sark is going to be asked about him coming up in the news conference. Why hasn't he played more? Why hasn't he played more? It's real simple why he hasn't played more. Had practiced all that well.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
And I know that's not what people want to hear, but for this coaching staff, your playing time is going to be earned based on what you do in practice.
Absolutely.
But they've found a role for him. He delivered on Saturday, so let's see if Alfred Collins can start building this. But no, because we had some text coming in on that. I love that play. I love the creativity. hopefully this is just the tip of the iceberg on how creative Pete Kwiatkowski can get with his looks, especially some of those long yard situations where you know they're going to have to throw the football.
No doubt. All right, coming up, we'll have Inconceivable, and we'll get you ready for Coach Sark's news conference coming up at the top of the hour. Here on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Inconceivable!
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 You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, inconceivable can mean a variety of different things today. First of all, a couple of sports-related things. We've had several folks tweeting and asking if we have access to the play-by-play that I actually did of the dude dressed as Santa running across the field. In fact, our good friend, your colleague Mike Roach, Horns 24/7, sent me a DM on Twitter asking, "Tell me you've got that." And I said, "It's somewhere. I haven't pulled it or whatever. Maybe Snoop can find it or whatever." It happened in the fourth quarter. But so there's that, and then there's the inconceivable of Justin Tucker.
So he makes a 66-yard field goal that bangs off the crossbar at the gun and goes in. The longest field goal in NFL history. This, courtesy Craig of Field Yates of ESPN,
yeah,
this will blow your mind on Justin Tucker.
Yeah?
Justin Tucker has now made 50 straight field goals in the fourth quarter or overtime. Let me say that again. 50 straight field goals in the fourth quarter or overtime. Of those 50, 21 have been from 40 or more yards. Seven of them from 50-plus, and obviously yesterday's 66, the longest in NFL history. He's never, never missed a kick in the final minute of regulation, a perfect 16 for 16.
He's going to wind up being the greatest kicker of all time percentage-wise in NFL history.
I think he's going in the Hall of Fame.
Yep, yep. Rick Cantu was tweeting about it yesterday. We were going back and forth because Rick had forgotten about there not be, when he said something about not being kickers in the Hall of Fame. There are. Jan Stenerud was the first. Morton Anderson is in.
Adam Vinatieri will go in.
He'll go in. Ray Guy is in as a specialist, a punter. I think Shane Leckler's going in. So there's that. Lou Groves is in the Hall of Fame. Now, he played offensive tackle as well, but he was best known as a kicker all that
badass
time.
Badass offensive line and kicker.
How about that?
Love me some
man after your own heart, right? Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jerry Kramer kicked three field goals in the 1962 NFL Championship. This is a guard for the Packers because Paul Hornung was hurt. So I'm just saying. The one other NFL-related, Andy Reid apparently is okay. He was taken to the hospital after the game. Some could say that 30-24 loss to the Chargers would give somebody heart failure. That wasn't it. It was some heat-related exhaustion thing. There wasn't serious concern about his condition, but apparently he's going to be, said he just wasn't feeling well after the game. He did talk to the team. It's a good talk, pretty much. You have to quit the turnovers. So there it is. All right, coming up, we're going to bring you Coach Sark's news conference. Jeff and I will adjourn into the news conference room. We'll do that, and we'll bring you Coach Sark's presser coming up here, and then we'll be back for the remainder of hour number two of Light the Tower. Here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We are live, local, and digital here on the Horn app and hornfm.com.